so glad that you're here this weekend. We are kicking off a brand new series called Marriage at the Movies. What we're going to do is we're going to take three blockbuster Hollywood movies. We're going to look at them through the lens of God's Word and see how that lens can change our relationships, no matter what your status is, whether you're single, dating, or married. Now, that's the good news. We're kicking off a brand new series. The bad news is, because of copyright laws, we're not allowed to show any of these clips and the message online. So what we've done is we've chosen some of our best messages from past marriage and relationship series, and that's what we're going to show today. But I want to challenge you, if you're able, to get to a CCB campus across the valley. There's 10 of them to choose from, so you don't miss out on Marriage at the Movies. If you absolutely cannot get to a campus, we understand, and I hope you really enjoy what God's going to do through this series and the messages we're going to show you starting today. Enjoy. As we get into today, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge that this series, The Vow, has not been the easiest series for some of you. I want to just acknowledge that. I know I got an email a couple weeks ago from someone, and they said, I'm just so torn. You know, I love what I'm learning. I love the series, but I'm recently divorced, and there's some weekends that, you know, I'm there and I want to be there, but there's times that it feels like maybe I'd rather be cleaning a truck stop toilet. That was their words. And if that's you, I just want to say thanks for sticking in as we've been in the series. My goal in this series has been twofold. One is, if you're single and you want to be married one day, I hope you walk away from this series more prepared than ever to have a lasting and loving marriage. But if you are married, my goal for you has been that at the end of this series, God would do such a great work in your marriage that he would begin to transform it to become more than you could have ever imagined. And at the end of the service today, I just want to let you know that we're going to do something. I'm going to lead those of us that are married in something that I just feel led by God to do. And I really believe it could be transformative for all of us. But today, you know, we're going to talk about the fourth vow. As you know, we've talked about these three vows so far, the vow of priority, the vow of partnership, and the vow of passion last week. You know, we talked about sex last week, and some of you caught me and said, is CCV ready 9 months from now from all the kids that are coming? I thought, we'd love that, you know? I mean, we'll double our nursery capacity. You better be giving, we're gonna be growing, okay? So, but today I wanna talk to you about the fourth vow, the vow of pursuit. And to kind of get us started in the same direction, let me just ask, any of you, you know, when you're dating or, you know, first kind of falling in love with someone, is anyone here, did you do anything outrageous or really, really dumb in the name of love? Anybody else do that? I mean, if you've been in love, you probably, the answer is yes, I have. I mean, if I was, you know, just speaking personally, you know, my wife Jamie and I, who you got to see last weekend, we met as sophomores in college, and many people say, Ashley, when I meet Jamie, I realize you married way over your head. And I said, I know I did, but do you understand the great lengths I went to pursue that woman? I mean, I got my eyes locked on the prize, and I was like, I'm going after that, okay? And so, I mean, I did all sorts of crazy, outrageous things. I mean, just to give you a couple examples. When we were in college, just a few months after we started dating, both of us got hired to go recruit over the summer for our college. So we were gonna travel all across the United States separately. And so we were looking at our calendars, and we were just never gonna see each other over the summer. I mean, I was in Oregon, she was in California, and she was in Washington, and I was in Colorado, and just all over the place. And we found out that we were gonna be in California on one day at the same time. The problem is, she was 4 hours away in another city. And so we started talking, and I was like, well, you know, based on our calendars, I could drive 4 hours there and 4 hours back, but by the time I got there, you have to leave at this time. I'd only get to see you less than an hour. So we just, you know, we can't do, you know, it's not going to work. And we're like, oh, you know, you're dating. You're like, oh, I'm not going to see you, you know. And so what did I do? I drove 8 hours round trip to see that woman for less than 1 hour. Isn't that romantic? With a lot of dumb mixed in, okay? I mean, it's like the things we do for love, and, you know, and I could go on and on. And there's times I showed up with flowers, like completely unannounced. There were times that, man, we just did like crazy things. I mean, I wrote down a few other things. I mean, I remember writing all these cheesy love notes to her that if you read them, you'd gag. I mean, you would gag at them. And don't laugh, because I gag at yours too, the ones you wrote, right? One time, I wanted to do something special for Jamie. We were dating, and I was trying to, you know, win her over, and
I found out that she knew Russian. She actually almost minored in Russian. She was fluent in it. She spent some time in Russia. And so I tracked down someone that knew Russian, and I got them to teach me how to say a phrase we used to say to each other. We used to say, my love, you know? And so I got them to teach me how to say my love and write my love in Russian. And then I went to Michael's, which is like going to Antarctica for a man. You know, I went to Michael's, and I literally got all the supplies. I was gonna make this bracelet that said the words, my love in Russian, which, by the way, if you wanna know what that is, I was told it's Malishka, okay? So I worked on this for weeks, and I got it done, and I gave her this present. She opened it up, and she was just like, you're the best, you know? And I was like, the things we do for love. Have you done that? Of course you have, and Jamie has her stories too. I mean, well, I'll just give you one. When weeks after we started like just kind of hanging out, she kept asking to borrow, like I had this ball cap I wear all the time, and she kept asking to borrow it, and when I get it back, it always smelled like her perfume. And I didn't think about it until years later. She said, when I give it back to you, I'd spray my perfume in it and give it back to you. I walked around smelling like a girl, but it worked, all right? I thought about her all the time. And you've done the same thing, right? I mean, some of you cleaned out your bank account just to win someone over and get them something that they wanted. I mean, you came up with all sorts of pet names for each other, you know, weird names, you know, they're weird, Smooky Wookie and all this stuff, you know? I mean, you said that. Did anybody else remember this? You remember like late at night before there was texting and cell phones, you had a landline and you're sitting late at night and you're talking to each other for hours and then it's kind of time to go, but nobody wants to hang up and you say, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. I'm not gonna hang up. And so you literally just sat there listening to each other's breath, right? You remember this? It's because you pursued someone with everything you had. Isn't this true? We all naturally pursue what we don't have. It's true. I mean, you pursued with everything you had, and it led to these deep feelings of love. But isn't it true that you can wake up years and years later, years and years, years and years and years later in a marriage, and you can think, where'd all the romance go? Like, where's the intimacy? Where's the love? And what happened? It's because you stopped pursuing. Isn't it true that it's so easy to become complacent in a marriage? And don't miss this, complacency is the enemy of love. And maybe, this is a message that someone needs to hear. Max Lucado put it this way. He said, Satan won't suddenly steal your marriage from you. He'll do far worse. Listen to this. He says, he'll paint it with a familiar coat of drabness. He'll replace evening gowns with bathrobes, nights on the town with evenings in the recliner, and romance with routine. He'll scatter the dust of yesterday over the wedding pictures in the hallway until they become a memory of another couple in another time. And what happens to so many couples after marriage is one day you wake up and you hear someone say something like this, we just fell out of love. Anybody else ever heard this before? We just fell out of love. The underlying assumption behind that phrase is this. Love is a feeling that you can fall in and out of. Is that true? Is love truly just a feeling that we fall in and out of? Think about it this way. What does it take to fall in love? What's required to fall in love? A pulse. That's what's required. I mean, some of you are in love with someone you've never even met. You saw them on TV, or they're a superstar, you know? What does it take to stay in love? It takes a commitment. It takes pursuit, which means love is a verb. Love is not just a noun. It's not something you fall in and out of. Love is a verb. It's something that you actually do. And see, so many of us, we assume when we're dating and we had all those feelings of love, we forget and we just assume back then that the feelings just came naturally. It was like chemistry. The feelings were just there. And when you lose those feelings, it's time to move on and find someone else that can make you feel that way. And what we forget is that the reason you had such strong feelings early on is because you pursued someone with like everything you had. I mean, we broke our backs to pursue other people, the person that you love, which means this. If you want love to work, you have to make love. Pause. A verb. Now you remember it, right? If you want love to work, you have to make love a verb. Love is a verb. It's something that you do. So I love how Jimmy Evans put it. He said this, marriage only works when you work at it. Let me say that again. Marriage only works when you decide that you're gonna work at it. I mean, what other area of your life do you get to just become complacent, do nothing, kind of lose out on like, I don't feel like it, and you just kind of stop working at it and everything works out? I mean, what other area of your life? Do you get to go, you know, I just don't feel like working out anymore, and all of a sudden your body just stays in shape? No. Do you get to say, I don't feel like going to work today, and you get to keep your job, they just keep paying you? Do you feel, you know, I'm not really feeling the kids. Let's get rid of them, you know? You know, I mean, if you're a business owner, do you get to go, you know, I don't think I'll really work at the business much anymore, and your business just continues to grow? What other area of your life do we get to say, I just don't feel it anymore? None. And yet for some reason, we've defined love as just a feeling that you can fall in and out of instead of something that you have to work at. Did you know in Scripture, almost every single verse talking about love between a man and a woman in marriage, love is a verb. It's a verb. It's not a feeling. And it requires pursuit. Pursuit. Almost every week in this series, actually every week in this series, we've looked at this verse, Genesis 2:24. Let me show it to you again. That's why a man leaves his father and mother and is what? United, remember, to his wife, and they become one flesh. That's the goal, is to become one in marriage. And I told you this word united means to be glued, to literally be like super glued to someone. Did you know it means something else as well? The Hebrew language that the Old Testament, most of the Old Testament was written in, it's so rich, it's so vivid. The Hebrew words have texture to them. They're like a picture that tells a story that you can kind of look at different ways. And so I want to look at this word united again. And I want to tell you, it comes from the Hebrew word debak. That's what it means, debak. And it means to stick to or glue, but it also means to pursue, to cling to. And I love this picture. Let me show you just a few other places in Scripture this word debak is used. In the story of Ruth and Naomi, Naomi said, Ruth, get out of here. Just leave me. And it says, no. Ruth said, no. She clung to her. Debak. It says this in Exodus, or Judges 20. It says, they, the Israelites, this is the word debak, pursued hard. Isn't that a great image? And then this obscure passage actually in Ezekiel says, I'll set hooks in your jaw. And it goes on to say something's going to stick. It's debak. And when I read this verse, immediately my mind jumped to that story I told you about when Jamie used to spray her perfume in my hat. When she would tell that story to people, almost every single time she'd tell that story, she would say this. Yeah, I was doing that to kind of put my hook in him and just reel him in. Yeah. We pursued. That's what we did in dating. And what some of us have forgotten is we've forgotten that when you get married, it requires the same level of pursuit. So if you're married here today, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm going to ask you to refuse to brush off. I hope this question haunts you for a little bit. You ready? If you don't feel in love anymore, I mean, very honestly, you'd say, I just don't feel in love anymore. I don't feel it. Could it be that you've stopped pursuing your spouse? Here's immediately what some of you are thinking, because I've been there. No, it's not me that stopped pursuing. They stopped pursuing, right? I mean, our natural human reaction anytime is go like this. It's their fault. They stopped pursuing. But listen, I'm not talking to them. I'm asking you, regardless of what's going on, have you stopped pursuing your spouse? I wonder if the answer for some of us would literally, I mean, it would have to be like an honestly yes. And just a word to you singles for a moment. Let me talk to you singles. If you're dating someone right now and there is not mutual pursuit between you, that is a red flag that you better run. Because if you're thinking, well, I know he's not pursuing me right now or she's not pursuing me, but when we get married, they'll naturally pursue me. Yeah, go talk to your married friends. If he's not pursuing you now, and by the way, you deserve to be pursued. That's a major red flag. But I want to talk to you marrieds for just a little bit. I want to just talk about this idea of pursuit. How can we keep the idea of pursuit alive in our marriage? How do we ignite it again? How do we get some handles on how we can pursue our spouse? Because that's what God has called us to do, to bach, to pursue after them. I want to give you a couple suggestions if you're taking notes today. One would be this. You pursue your spouse the way they like to be pursued. Because here's what some of us are thinking. I am pursuing them. I do pursue them. Are you pursuing them the way they like to be pursued or the way you like to be pursued? I mean, some of you guys here are going, Ashley, I pursue her. I mean, every single night I offer to make love to her. She is so lucky. I mean, what? Hey guys, what if she wants to be pursued differently? We talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, guys, come on. Don't you think maybe she might want to be pursued by you listening to her with a listening ear, an encouraging voice, your gentleness, you helping around the house? Some of you did dishes all last week, and that's awesome. Love this verse from Colossians 3:19. Actually, this is in your notes. It says, women need non-sexual affection. Don't you remember that? Listen to what Colossians says. I like this. Husbands, love. Verb, 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 verb. That is a verb. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Come on, ladies. I'm not letting you off the hook. Are you loving him and pursuing him the way he wants to be pursued? Yeah, Ashley. I mean, I buy candles. I make the house smell nice for him. It's for him. Wow, okay. You know what men need? Men need affirmation. And ladies, he's becoming what you speak into his life. Don't you dare spend your time telling him what he's not. You speak life into him. You affirm who you see him becoming. You know, when's the last time you've said in front of family or friends how proud you are of your husband? You've affirmed him. When's the last time you've been affirmative in the bedroom? The point is simply this, is that we have to learn to begin to pursue our spouse the way they like to be pursued, not how we naturally want to be pursued. Here would be my second thing for you would be this. Pursue your spouse regularly, even if you don't feel like it. You pursue them even if you don't feel like it. Now, many of us think, well, I should have to feel like pursuing to pursue them. Really. You only have to be married like 24 hours to realize there's going to become a day or a week or a season because of some pain and hurt and just what you're going through. You're not going to feel like it. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross for you. He begged God in the garden. He said, God, is there any other way? And he didn't rely on his feelings. He relied on his commitment to you. You know, worse might be this. You're like, and it's not that I don't feel like it. It's just we're doing good right now. I mean, our marriage is awesome. I don't really need to pursue. We're doing good. Wrong. Think about it this way. When you're driving a car, when does the car begin to slow down? It is not when you put your foot on the brake. It's the moment you take your foot off the pedal. And some of you have taken your foot off the pedal in your marriage because you think, we're doing good. Have you stopped pursuing? You know, no one ever gets married and says this. You know what? You know what my goal is? One day I hope to have a terrible marriage. I hope we kind of split up. And we'll just split everything together. I'll only see the kids on the weekend. That's my goal. No one ever says that. But what happens? We get overwhelmed. We get tired. We get complacent. And we stop pursuing. And before you know it, we have good intentions. But our intentions, we rely on our intentions instead of our actions, this verb of love, pursuing our spouse. And so I want to help you with just, I want to just give you three things of just how you can kind of close the gap between intentions and actions. And here's what I would say. To pursue your spouse, you would encourage daily, you'd date weekly, and you'd escape yearly. These three things would transform your marriage. I want to talk about each of them. Let's talk about encourage daily. There's a verse in Hebrews 3:13 that says this, but encourage one another what? Say it with me. Daily. Oh, I didn't know it was supposed to be daily. Yeah, encourage each other daily as long as it's called today, which is always until we're all dead and in heaven. So that's today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Could you imagine if you made a commitment every single day, whether you felt it or not, to encourage your spouse? My wife is a lot better at this than I am. I mean, there's so many times she'll tell me, I'm so proud of you. Man, you're a great dad. You're doing such a great job. I mean, she's very encouraging. There's times where I'll be at work and I'll get a text message and she'll say, I can't wait for tonight, smiley face. And I know what that means. It just means we're gonna have a dinner, you know? I mean, that's all it means, so. You know, there's times that I'll try to tell Jamie, you look stunningly beautiful. You get more beautiful with every single day. You really are. Yeah, and there's times we'll be having dinner as a family and I'll look at the kids and I'll go, your mom is awesome. She is amazing. Look at this meal she made us. Could you imagine what it could do? Have you stopped encouraging your spouse? If you think it, say it. Don't rely on your intentions. Let me talk about dating weekly, because this is one that seems unrealistic for many of you. You're like, that's just unrealistic. I mean, you know, we can't do that every single week. Let me ask you a question. When you were dating early on, unless one of you was out of town, did you ever go a week without going on a date when you first met? Never. And yet somehow when we get married, we make all these excuses, finances, kids, I'm busy, work, we just can't do it. Now listen, I'm not perfect on this one with Jamie, okay? I'm not perfect dating, but there's a couple from our Chandler campus that has just crazy inspired me. I want you to hear their story. Watch this.
Anyway, shall we talk about the kids?
Yeah. No, we are not talking about the kids.
We're not.
No, we're not. You have to go away. That's what we're talking about.
Where are we going?
We go to the ocean.
Hi, I'm Gene. This is my wife, Karen. And we haven't missed a date night in 43 years.
We met in Omaha, Nebraska.
One of my friends knew you.
Right.
And said I should take you out.
And then I told him that I wanted at least 10 children. And then it was a while before he asked me out again. One of the things that's kept our marriage alive is having a weekly date night. We have 6 children, all of whom have medical issues, mental health issues, and physical disabilities. We felt we had to make some time for us, otherwise our marriage wouldn't last.
You deal with things because of their disabilities. You deal with things, the same things, day in and day out, week after week, month after month. And so I can put a lot of stress on a marriage. After, you know, a week of just constant things going on, you kind of need to take a step back and just say, you know, hi, how you doing?
You could find us at Coco's or Village Inn. I'm kind of dating us, aren't I?
I always enjoy dating when we were dating. I think there is something important about the act of pursuing and courting your wife.
I agree.
Because I'm sure they appreciate that.
Having him pursue me makes me feel invaluable. It also allows me the time to get ready, get dressed up, you know, don't greet him with rollers in my hair, you know. It's fun. I don't know if I could say this. Okay, well, he keeps me supplied in pretty nighties, and it makes it fun. It's that's part of married life, and I don't know, if you're not attracted to each other anymore, then that's pretty sad. I'm looking forward to a lot more years of nightgowns. We feel incredibly blessed. I don't think I ever envisioned our marriage being this good.
You dated and courted your spouse to get yourself to the point of marrying your spouse. Why would you stop that?
I don't know about you, but that just crazy inspires me. It convicts me and inspires me. And what I love about their story is, 43 years they've not missed a date night. And you think your schedule's crazy? They're taking care of kids with special needs. And what I love about their dates is their dates aren't Instagram worthy. Sometimes I think we think, well, if we're gonna go on a date, it's gotta be big. No, they go to Coco's. You just gotta get away, walk down the street, go take a picnic in the park, date your spouse. And man, Gene's smart. He's like, he keeps her stocked with 90s. I'm like, that's well done, Gene. well done. I love that phrase. We never thought our marriage could be this good. Maybe you need to start getting in the habit of dating weekly. Last thing I want to hit on real quick is just escape yearly. This is something Jamie and I never have missed out on any year of our marriage. We're just so committed to this. And I know many of you, I just talked to so many of you, and I just am amazed how many couples don't do this. They don't get away from the kids for an extended period of time. And I just want to challenge you with that. I know many of you are busy and you think you can't leave the kids. Listen, those little suckers, those kids are with you for, they're with you for 18 years. And if you make your marriage kid-centric, there's a day you'll wake up and you'll look in each other's eyes and you won't even know each other. You won't even know how to exist without the kids. You gotta get away. You gotta get away, and I would challenge you to do that. So what do we do? What are we gonna do to pursue our spouse? We're gonna encourage daily, we're gonna date weekly, we're gonna escape yearly. Could you imagine what this simple plan would do for your marriage? And this is the point in the message where if I'm gonna be blunt, here's what some of you are thinking. Well, that's really cute, Pastor. Pastor, you're a perfect marriage, you're a perfect family, you're naive, Pastor Ashley. And if that's what you think, I'm gonna get up in your business for a little bit. I'm gonna call it how it is. Listen to me. Jamie and I, we face all the same pressures you do. Our schedule, I promise you, is just as busy, if not busier, than anyone's schedule here. Satan tempts us the same way he would anyone here. Jamie and I have sinned against each other in deep ways that we still have scars from. Our marriage is attacked by Satan as much as anybody's. We deal with all the same stuff. Our kids aren't perfect. I wrote this down. Call it like it is. We have drama in our extended family. Everybody has a little crazy in their family. We face health challenges, one of them recently that scared us to death. We do not have a perfect marriage, but we have a strong marriage. Let me tell you why. Because we work so, so, so hard at it. We work so hard at it. Every single day, every single week, we got to work just like anybody else. And I'm going to say this, it's going to make some of you mad, but it's 100% true. Your marriage will be as good as you decide to make it. It will be as good as you decide to make it. And I know some of you are in a place right now where you're thinking this, I just don't feel it. I don't feel the love anymore. I just don't feel like it. And some of you need to get over your stupid feelings. There's times I don't feel like loving my wife. I don't feel like loving Jamie all the time, but God has called me as a man to lay down my life and love her. And she would say the same thing about me. So some of you need to get over your feelings. There's no other area of our life we get to rely on our feelings. I don't feel like driving on the right side of the road. I don't feel like paying my taxes. I don't feel like feeding the baby this week. Try that on for a little bit, right? There's no other area we get to rely on our feelings, and yet some of you just are ready to throw in the towel. And what you need to hear is Revelation chapter 2. This is God speaking to the church in Ephesus. This is Jesus saying this. He says, you don't love me or each other the way you did at first. Look at how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and what? Do the works you did at first. Some of you need to hear this. If you want to get back the feelings you once had, you got to start doing what you once did. And throwing in the towel and getting a divorce just because you don't feel it anymore, you know what that's like? That's like selling your car because it ran out of gas. What do you do when your car runs out of gas? You fill it back up. What do you do when you run out of love? You fill it back up. And the moment you think the grass is greener on the other side, oh, the grass looks greener on the other side, what do? You water and fertilize your own yard. I'm just challenging some of you here. You don't rely on your feelings. You pursue again. And so the vow I want to challenge you with today is simply this. I vow to never stop pursuing you. And as we wrap up this series, here's what I know. Some of you need to hear this. This is in your notes. you don't measure your marriage. You don't measure it based on your feelings. You know what you do? It's measured by your commitment. And some of you need a chance to just have a period of time where you can recommit to your spouse and say, you know what? There was a time where we stood at an altar and we looked in each other's eyes and we said vows and we committed for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And then we've gone through this series and we've been listening to these four vows we've been walking through. And there's a time where you need to recommit and just look in your spouse's eyes and say, I want to recommit to those vows. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a chance to do that right now. And you only do this if you feel comfortable doing it. And listen, this is for marriages that you're sky high right now. You think things are awesome. This is for marriages that are feeling like you need to throw in the towel, but you need to recommit. And this is for anyone in between. And so what I'm going to ask you in just a moment is I'm going to ask you, if you feel comfortable doing this, that you'd stand with your spouse and just look in each other's eyes. I'm going to bring my wife out, okay? And I'm going to take the exact same vows with you. I'm just going to lead you in a very simple way to kind of recommit to your spouse. And some of you are thinking, my spouse isn't here. Oh, I'd encourage you, take out your phone, I'm serious, and film yourself taking these vows so you can show your spouse, okay? So Jamie and I are gonna do these together and we're just gonna lead you together. So if you're single here today, you're like, what do I do? You know what you do? You're gonna celebrate every marriage that stands right now just like you would if you were sitting at a marriage ceremony. You're gonna be the witnesses, okay? So if you're married and you want to stand and make a commitment in your marriage, stand up right now. Anybody who wants to, every married couple. Yeah. Didn't expect this, but seeing you commit, it fires me up, because it's what some of you need. Oh, I don't do this, but you're doing it to me. And so here's what we're gonna do, okay? You're just gonna look in your spouse's eyes, and you're gonna repeat after me, okay? We're gonna start with husbands first. You ready, husbands? You ready? All right, you repeat after me. I take you all over again to be my wife. To love you for better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. Sickness and health. Till death do us part. I vow to make God my first priority. I vow our marriage will be more about we and less about me. I vow to be selfless with sex. And I vow to never stop pursuing you. Wives, if you want to accept that vow, would you just simply say, I do? All right, Jamie's going to lead you, wives, in your vow.
I take you all over again to be my husband. To love you for better or for worse. for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I vow to make God my first priority. I vow our marriage will be more about we and less about me. I vow to be selfless with sex. And I vow to never stop pursuing you.
Husbands, if you accept that vow, would you simply say, I do? I do. Hey, can we celebrate every person that made those vows? You can go have a seat. Oh, gosh. You ask her, I just don't cry very often, so. But when I see marriages standing up like that, and you wanting to commit, my heart for this church is that we would be a church with the strongest marriages anywhere. Because it's one of the greatest examples for us to show who God is, how much he loves our world, when we can love each other well. And so what we want to do is we want to give you a chance, those of you that took that vow, to mark this moment as a moment that maybe is transformative for you. So as you walk out today, we printed certificates that look like this, just says the vow, has the four vows we talked about in this series, has a place for you to sign as husband and wife and date this. I'd encourage you to frame this. Jamie and I are going to sign ours, and we're going to frame it and just put it up in our house as a reminder of what we're going to do. But I want to talk to one last group of people here today. And that's a group of people, whether you're married or single. Some of you singles want to take those vows someday. Those of you who are married, you took those vows. And remember, these are the vows you took, these four. And the very first vow is the most important. I vow to make God my first priority. And while you took that vow, or maybe one day you want to take that vow in front of someone else, here's what I know. Some of you have not made that vow really before God. You've not really accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and gone public in baptism the same way you went public with your wedding ceremony at an altar. And I want to tell you something. If you've not accepted Jesus as your personal, like, Lord, as made him the Lord of your life and said, I'm going to get baptized to symbolize what he did for me, that he died for you and rose again, I want to tell you something. In your marriage, I do not know how you can keep your commitment in marriage if you're not willing to make a commitment before God. God has to be at the center of your marriage. And so some of you, if you've not gotten baptized, maybe one of you or both of you, I want to challenge you today to take that step. And so on every campus, after every service, we're doing baptisms. And you may not have come prepared. We came prepared for you. We have a change of clothes, a shirt, shorts, and a towel. And what I want to ask you to do, if you're feeling God calling you, this is my time to step up and make a commitment and a vow before God that he's my Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you right after this service to go straight to the baptistry, and they're ready for you right there. You can get baptized right now. I hope some of you as couples do that together, because we have to have strong marriages. We have to have strong marriages. Remember, Ephesians 5 says marriage is a picture of God's love for the church. And if we want to reach this valley for Jesus Christ, it will take singles living out their faith, and it will take us that are married living out our faith in love. And so I want to pray right now. I'm going to pray that those of you that took that vow, that this will be a moment that God transforms your life. And then when we close out the service, when I get done praying, I'm gonna ask all of us to celebrate, and we're gonna walk out of here with some celebratory music, just like we do at a wedding ceremony, okay? Let's pray. Father, I'm inspired looking at a church that wants to get marriage right. And God, I just pray right now. I pray over every marriage. I understand the pain. I understand the hurt that some of them are going through. I understand how much some of them are just hanging on by a thread. And Father, I just pray today that this will be a moment of recommitment where you will transform marriages as we take vows before you to pursue, to put you first, to live a we marriage, and to understand this gift of sex the way you want it. And so Father, today, I want to celebrate every marriage, everyone that made a commitment. I pray for every single here that wants to be married today, that they'd walk out of here inspired and prepared. But for all of us, we're going to walk out and celebrate not only the commitments of marriage, but we're going to celebrate some commitments of baptisms. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate together? All right. Have a great weekend, guys. See ya. Bye, everybody.